Hey guys, it's Wednesday afternoon again. Thanks for tuning in, hanging out with me, whatever day of the week you watch this or whatever time you tune in for it. I'm really excited to speak to you guys tonight. I think I've got a cool word for you that I feel like God laid on my heart and hope it ministers to you like it has to me in the last couple weeks. Just kind of changing the way we think. Title of tonight is What Happens When Your Go-To Is Gone? And thinking about some things and how our recent events have caused us to maybe have to deal with not having the same go-tos that we used to. So tonight we'll start in prayer like we normally do. You guys pray with me. God, I pray that you just be here with us tonight, wherever here is. I pray that if that's a recliner or a kitchen table or a bed or a couch or wherever it's at, I pray that you would be right there. And I pray that you would unite us in the way that you can through your Spirit. And as we know that we are one in you. And I'm so thankful for that. And tonight I pray that you do that. You make us feel like the body and understand that we are still the body, even though we feel separated from each other. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight to see you in a different way maybe than we did earlier this week or last week or and just to see you in the way that you want us to view you, and then help us to view our surroundings in that way too, to change our perspective on the way that we look at what's going on in the world right now. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your hope. And I thank you for peace in times of crazy, and just that you are here all the time. And that is so comforting to know. Pray that you be with those who are in our congregation and our body who need you tonight, and whatever that may be. I know that you are a need meter, whatever that is, whether it's healing or salvation, God, or just restoration in some part of our mind or our body or even our spirit that just needs to be restored by you. Pray that you go to that place and that person and meet that need tonight. We thank you again just for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity. Pray that you just help me get out of the way and let you speak. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. So, talking about what happens when your go-to is gone. And you guys, everybody has go-tos. We have go-to restaurants. We have go-to songs. Or we have go-to things that we do whenever maybe we feel stressed, or it's kind of a default thing that we go back to or whatever. I know that when my wife and I are going to eat, we try to do new things when we go eat, but every now and then we'll go through it and we'll say, how about this, or how about that, or how about this, or how about that, and then we end up eating at the same place we always eat at. But we try. We have a go-to restaurant we go to when we get to go on dates. Also, you know, sometimes when I exercise or I go to the gym or anything like that, I've got go-to music that helps me. I feel like it's a mental thing. I don't know that it's really a physical thing that actually changes, but it does help. And then also, there are places and areas in my house that are go-to places for me. Like, if I feel stressed, I can go to my back porch and just stop and think and pray and go to those places like that when I'm having trouble. And due to the recent events we've experienced over the last few months, some of our go-tos are gone. And we can't do or deal with life maybe the same way we used to. And it sounds silly, but when the hardest part, I think, for Brianna and I both in this has been we can't go exercise. We can't go to the gym to exercise. And yeah, we could do it at home, but when I'm at home, I'd rather eat Cheetos and sit and watch a show. And I don't do well. I never have done well trying to exercise in my home. And I walk around and, you know, I might have done 30 push-ups through the entire quarantine time or something like that. But I can't make myself do that in those times. And Brianna kind of struggles the same way. And it really ends up being kind of a time where we just let our minds relax. And we don't have to think about anything. And for me, it's just pick this up and set it back down. That's all I have to do. That's the only thing that has to happen. It's pick it up and set it down. I don't have to think about how I do it. I don't have to think about who's watching me or whether I'm doing it correctly. I know what I'm doing. I pick it up. I set it down. It lets my mind go to sleep for a little while. And I haven't been able to do that lately. So I've had to find different avenues to handle the normal stresses of life. And I would like to tell you that every single time that I have went straight to God and said, please be my go-to, I can't go anywhere else. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes my go-to has been a different emotion. Sometimes my go-to is anger or frustration or anxiety about the things that are going on. And I get to the point where I forget, man, there's a fix for every part of this. So tonight, let's talk about that. Let's think about, what is your go-to right now? What is it? You know, when you come home from work or you're sitting at home and it's this time of day, what's your go-to? What is it, a show? Is it food? Is it something that is uplifting? Is it Bible time? Is it going to God? What's your go-to right now to help you get through this? For me, more often than I'd like to admit, my go-to has been food lately, and it affects me absolutely the way you think it would. I'm happy for a little while, and then after that, I'm upset that I've eaten so much food, and then we have to deal with the consequences of that afterwards. When I was really thinking about this, I thought about some people in the Bible who experienced a time when they thought their go-to was gone as well. And I really felt like they all three spoke to me in a way that was just, oh, wow, okay, that's exactly what I do. So first, we're going to talk about when Jesus was crucified. And the 3 days there that he was in the tomb and away from his disciples, we're going to talk about three people's reaction to that and the fallout kind of that happened in that time, or three different scenarios, a little more than three people. So the first thing, after Jesus was crucified, you know, he was put in the tomb, he was dead, physically dead. And to all those around him, he looked dead. He was dead. But what we couldn't see was that there was a monster spiritual war going on where he was taking the keys to death, hell, and the grave and showing Satan who was who and establishing even more authority than he had exhibited before in to fulfill prophecy. And while he was in the grave, the people that could only see that he was dead, he wasn't breathing, there wasn't a heartbeat, his eyes were open, or probably closed, sorry, not open, that'd be creepy. But he was dead. Everything was dead. And one of the first people, and probably the most famous for his reaction, was Peter. And while he was trying to experience and sort out what was going on here, Peter had a go-to that was fear. And I feel like because of that fear, he ended up denying that he was associated with Jesus at all. And we'll look at the scripture here tonight. It's in Luke 22:54-62. And the scriptures are a little bit lengthy, a little bit more than normal, but kind of have to do it to encapsulate what we're talking about here. So Luke 22:54 starting says, "They seized him, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the firelight, they looked closely at him. This man was with him too, and he denied it, being Peter. Woman, I don't know him. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, 'You're the one too. You're one of them too.' He said, 'Man, I am not.' And about an hour later, another kept insisting, 'This man was certainly with him, since he is a Galilean.' Peter said, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Immediately, he was still speaking, a rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.'" So this was right before Jesus was taken to be crucified that day. Peter knows he's going away. Peter knows he's going to be tried, and bad things are going to happen. His default in that situation, his go-to in that situation, was fear. And he was scared to be associated and scared to be known that he was with Jesus. And I think a lot of times in our life, we get scared when the go-to is gone, when we can't do the normal things. When they run out of toilet paper at the grocery store, that causes fear among people. And that causes us to not really a lot of times that causes us to not really understand how to process stuff. And when I can't process things and I can't think through things and what's tomorrow going to look like, I get a little nervous too. I get upset that I can't predict or I can't plan my next day the way that I normally do. And sometimes when our go-tos are gone, and maybe the go-to for you was your job, maybe your go-to was how you do your work, and because of the recent events with coronavirus and COVID and all those things, maybe your go-to is not your job anymore. You can't go to work. You can't go do that thing you're really good at. And that incites fear, because are you going to be able to pay your electric bill this week or this month? Or are you going to be able to afford this or that because you're not working again? And it causes that fear inside of us. And what happens is that begins to perpetuate, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it becomes a downward spiral. And then when our go-to's gone, we end up in a spot that is just rough and further away from God than we expected to be. The first one tonight, when your go-to's gone, we sometimes will exhibit fear. We have that just innate nature about us to go straight to fear. Another one we were talking about was Thomas. And this was after Jesus had been crucified. He laid in the tomb for 2 or 3 days there. And then the next morning, somewhere around the next morning, everybody was talking about it. Jesus has arisen. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. He defeated death and all this stuff. And Thomas is like, I don't know. I saw the dude die. And the people tell him, these are people he trusted, and these are people he ran with, and these were people that they had seen Jesus do incredible things, but because of that situation, because he watched his go-to die, he couldn't process it. He said, no, my eyes told me this, but you're telling me something different. I don't believe you. So let's read that together too. It starts in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29. It says, but one of the 12, Thomas, called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, if I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer. Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. And I think so many times in our life, when the go-to is gone, doubt creeps in. Are we going to be able to go back to church? I don't know. Are we going to be able to go back ever? And if we let that seed germinate, it becomes this monster thing in our life where it's just this big weed and we can't see anything but that. And we start to doubt whether life is going to be normal again. We don't know. It may be a new normal, but I think that we're still going to see the normalcy return. I just don't know when yet. And when things change in our life for good or for bad, sometimes even if it's a good thing that our go-to is gone, it's a different season in our life. We wonder, is this too good to be true? Or what's wrong with this? Why am I getting awarded this? Or whatever. We start to doubt change just in general. And I think that is difficult. And I know in my life that initially when all the events that have happened and caused us to have to do Wednesday night via Facebook rather than in person, when that stuff started coming to fruition and sort of kind of grew into what it is now, I wondered, what is this about? How could God let this happen? How could God sit back while there are so many people dying, there are so many people being sick, there are so many people losing jobs, and so many families affected. What's going on here? And doubt whether God was even in control for a while, or whether this was about him, or was this malicious, or what happened, all of those things that go through our minds. We begin to doubt the truths that we know. And we begin to doubt what God says is true. And I think that it takes some prayer through those times of doubt and some real introspection to look at ourselves and say, man, I know God's real. I've seen God help me through times like this before. Maybe not to the extent, but before David killed Goliath, he killed a bear and a lion. He didn't kill Goliath on the first day he started messing with a slingshot. And you didn't have the greatest victory of your life maybe on the first day you were a Christian or the first day you found your strength in Jesus. He allows us to grow in those increments and then begin to see more of who he is and also who he wants us to be. And I think that is critical for us to take a step back and say, when those times of doubt come, say, yeah, this looks pretty bleak. I don't really know what's going to happen maybe, but because I know who God is, I know who's in control of this. And because God has shown me X, Y, and Z through my life, I'm able to reflect on those and say, well, God will help me when the alphabet starts back over at A again because he helped me through these three things too. And I think that's critical for us to remember tonight for sure. So the last little story is talking about when Jesus just shows up and starts talking to these two dudes on the road to Emmaus. And the deal here is they were so distracted by what had happened to them, they didn't even know who he was. They were so distracted by the current events that they were blinded to who he was. And how many times in the last however long have we been so fixated on Johns Hopkins numbers when it first started, or how are we going to do this, or what are we going to do about that, or oh my goodness, we can't do this or that. And it allows us to be so blinded to the fact that God still wants to move, and God still can because he's God. And I'm so convicted about that because I got so wrapped up in, well, we can't ever do church again the same. And we can't ever do this again the same. We're never going to be able to pray with people the way we used to pray with people. We're never going to be able to speak to people the way we spoke to people. Blah, 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 blah. And then it was like God dropped a cinder block on my head and said, hey, I'm still God. I don't need your building to be God. I don't need you to be in the building to be God. A body is a body. It begins to take on the parts of the body that are necessary for different functions in our life. The church is a body. The church is not a building. I mean, it was just like thing after thing after thing. And finally, I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Like, just lay off for a minute. Let me breathe. No pun intended on that. So God was talking to me and just speaking to me so real about how to look away from what is going on as an obstacle and begin to look at things as an opportunity. And throughout the situations that we've experienced and throughout the changes we've had to make to get the word out, we've allowed ourselves to grow in that arena enormously. Things that would have taken a long time to prep for, and things like cameras on Sunday mornings and how we have to do sound now and how we can do Facebook Live on a Wednesday and how we can interact with our community and what we're doing, those steps would have taken a long time or maybe not even ever happened because we didn't feel like there was a need for it. But God says, hey, I'm still God. I'm still bigger than every bit of this. I'm still more and victorious over all of this. Look at me. Talk to me. Let me show you who I am. And when we read this scripture, it's kind of funny how it comes about. So this one is a little bit long. It's going to be Luke 24, 13 through 32. Story time with Logan for a minute here. This is going to take a second. So it said, now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened here in these days? What things? He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened, and moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. And he said to them, how unwise and slow you are to believe in your hearts all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them all the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. I feel like that would have taken a while. Whatever, they had 7 miles to walk. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening and now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them, and it was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight, so they said to each other, weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking to us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? So, we go back to these guys. These guys were so distracted about what's going on. It was literally the only thing they could talk about. This is what they were discussing. I thought he was the one. The other dude says, no, I don't think so. And they're back and forth. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? And this guy shows up and he's like, what are you guys arguing about? And they said, are you really that dense? Like, do you not see what's going on? It's like somebody walking into a room and saying two people are arguing about coronavirus and somebody saying, what? Corona what? And we're all like, have you been here? Like, where were you? Because I want to go there and escape this for a bit. These guys are kind of dealing with the same thing. They're walking with Jesus. They're talking about all these things they saw, and they have no idea it's him. They were so distracted by the events that they forgot to see who was the star of the event. They didn't even know it was him. And maybe he looked different physically. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what a resurrected Messiah looks like compared to his earthly body. Maybe it's different. But I feel like so many times in my life, I get so distracted by what is right here in front of me that I can't see anything to the left or to the right. And I'm so fixated on it that I begin to be useless. And I begin to be something that God can't use because I can't take my eyes off of what's right here. I get frustrated, I get mad, I get whatever, all of those things. And those emotions and those actions begin to drive a wedge between the Lord and I, and I become so overwhelmed with just everything that I see that I can't get past that, and I can't go on to what God's saying, like, hey man, I need you to do this. Why don't you pray with this person? Can you see what's going on? I can't get closer than 6 feet. And whatever it is. But I feel like we do that, and I've done that before, what everything going on. There are times in my life where I get, like, when I was younger, I hurt my knee really bad playing football. And all I could think about was, man, now I can't play football. I can't play football. I can't go to college, the place that I wanted to go, and play football in college, and then blah, 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 that cascade. But I got so focused on that I didn't see God was preparing me through that time and through the downtime that I experienced to learn and to rely on him in a way that maybe I never had before. And I was so tied up in what I can't do. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't walk. I can't whatever. I can't go anywhere. Whatever. That I was unable to see that God was really trying to prep my heart and show me, hey, this is my plan for you. I don't really think you need to go wherever and play football in college. I would rather you go here and do these things, but I couldn't see that. And I think there are so many times in our life we do that as Christians. We get so fixated on, man, we can't do this. We can't do that. Somebody says this. Somebody says we're not allowed to be here. We're not allowed to whatever. And we get so stuck on what we're not allowed to do that we can't see that God's saying, hey, I'm God. I created everything. Won't you look at me for a second and we'll talk about some things you can do. Let me give you some ideas about how to help through this situation. So tonight we talked about three different instances where people thought their go-to was gone, where people just didn't have what they had the day before, and they couldn't, it caused them to have different emotions and different actions because of that. And tonight I feel like we're probably dealing with the same things. Maybe you're scared, maybe you're doubtful, maybe you're so distracted that you can't think about God right now. I can't stop watching the news long enough to think about God. I can't stop looking at this and the new whatever for the day that I can think about what God wants me to do. Maybe it's just that you're doubting. Man, is God even in control anymore? Look at the world. It's literally on fire in places. People are crazy. God can't be in control right now. This is the part that I'm really excited about. Because even in these situations, these guys thought their go-to was gone. But their go-to was Jesus. And he doesn't leave. When you have the right go-to, he's never gone. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's somebody that never leaves us or forsakes us. He is with us always until the end of the age. I don't know what time that is or when that is or what day that is, but it sounds like a really long time. And it sounds like the rest of forever. In my mind. And I know that when we begin to seek the right go-to, and when that go-to is Jesus, and when that go-to is God, however you want to address him in that, he can't be gone. He's omnipresent. He is here all the time. He is with you right now, wherever you are. Whatever seat you're sitting in, he's right there. And I'm sitting here imagining that I'm sitting in his lap. And he's big enough to hold me, and he's big enough to let me know, to pet my sunburn and let me know, hey, it's going to be good. It doesn't matter what's going on today. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what your Wednesday stress looked like. I'm bigger than that. Let me be bigger than that. Man, don't reach for a bottle. Don't reach for a phone. Don't reach for your TV. Don't reach for a magazine. Whatever it is, don't reach for that. Go to the right go-to. And I can let you know that I have been guilty of seeking the wrong go-to many times in my life. And it's just a band-aid with no medicine under it. It doesn't fix anything. It covers it up for a minute, but underneath it, nothing heals. And when we go to the right one, the one who's a great physician as the go-to, man, he heals everything because he made it. The Creator can put it back together without even having to think about it. Tonight, I feel so strongly that we're leaving our go-tos and we're leaving the one we should to pursue something else. And I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's a totally different thing than I talked about. Maybe it's just that you're just ambivalent right now and that your go-to is just to stay in that place where if I don't get excited about it, if I don't really get look forward to it, I can't be disappointed when I can't do it. Whatever. I'm riding it out. Whatever that ambivalence looks like for you. Maybe it's just that you're stuck right here. You can't move. You know your go-to was busy before and now you're not busy. And what happens? Man, what an awesome time. God kind of did the same thing with me too. He spoke to me through that and said, hey man, you're not as busy as you were on this, and this. And I was like, yeah, well, so. He says, just like start quoting scripture at me. He's like, be still and know that I'm God. Sit down for a second. Remember who I am. remember what I did for you. Now, you're too late to tell me he's not the go-to. You're too late to tell me, because he's helped me through times where I should have died from pulmonary embolisms. There are times he's helped me through times where I tried to take my own life. He's helped me through some dark spots in my life where I tried to take the broad path instead of the narrow way. And you're too late to tell me. I've seen it time and time again in my own life, and I've seen it time and time again in my marriage and in the lives of those around me. I've seen God work. I've seen that when it's in that dark time, he doesn't leave. I've watched him reach and pull people out because he's big enough to do that. Tonight, if you're stuck there, man, turn to him. Go straight to him through Jesus. Go straight to him. He's that advocate that we can get straight there. Ask him, man, God, I'm sorry. Be my go-to again. Or maybe you've never done that before. Maybe this is new to you and you're like, hey, I saw this thing on the Facebook page and clicked on it. Some all red-faced, bald dude on here talking. I don't know what was going on. Man, if it's new to you, it's okay. Because he can be your go-to. He can be the new thing for you that leaves you fulfilled and whole. And it doesn't cause you to feel empty afterward. It doesn't cause you to feel worse than you did before you went there. He helps us be whole and full and well and nurtured and taken care of in the way that nobody else on this earth could ever do. Man, nobody can love you like he does. Nobody can take care of you like he does. I don't care how good your mom was. I had a good mama, but nobody takes care of me like Jesus. Nobody can. And if you're there tonight, wherever you are, maybe driving down the road, don't look at the screen if you're driving, just listen. But if you're just hanging out, think about that and just say, man, where has my go-to been the last little bit? Am I effective? Am I doing anything for him? Or am I stuck in one of these spots? As you think about that, I pray that thought evokes an action in you to turn in the right direction and to turn toward the one who will never be gone, the go-to that never leaves. What happens when your go-to is gone? You got the wrong go-to. When your go-to is gone, you got the wrong go-to. Sorry for the grammar. I'll try to fix it. But it's so real. And it's so here that he wants us to be looking at him. Man, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. I see him just whispering to us. Don't go here. Don't go there. Man, look at me. I'm right here. Turn around and look at me. Tonight, let's do that. You guys pray with me. God, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that when I wondered if there would be a morning, you brought the morning. And when I wondered if there would be healing, you were my healing. And when I wondered if there would be peace, God, you flooded me with it and gave me peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I'm reminded of the times in my life where I've tried to seek another go-to. I've tried to find another way to fill myself. But your word and your presence and knowing you and you being in my life has directed me towards you, however long that may take. Sometimes it was days, sometimes it was weeks, sometimes it was years, to look at you correctly and to see that you are what I need. God, I pray that you just minister to those tonight who have found the wrong go-to and have went to the wrong place to search for the wrong thing. I pray that you would help us when we deal with that fear, when we worry about what's going on. I pray that you would help us to remember that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And a sound mind to me is a mind that has all corners, nooks and crannies and crevices and everything, God, shored up and protected against the wiles of the devil. And God, I'm so thankful that your perfect love does cast out all fear, like the scripture says. And I pray against that today in the name of Jesus. I pray against fear in the church. Stronger and more real than I ever have. And God, I pray against that doubt. I pray against that thing that creeps in and says, this is wrong. Or that thing that comes in and says, what if he's not in control? Then what happens? I pray, God, that you speak truth to those lies that try to infiltrate us. And God, I pray that you would give us that ability, literally give us that ability to take every single thought captive God, to grab it and say, what are you? And if it's good, keep it. If it's not, ditch it. And let it be gone. Give us that ability, God, in our spiritual mind and even in our cerebral mind where weird thoughts come through. I pray that you would help us with that doubt today. God, I pray against distraction in the church in the name of Jesus. Whatever that distraction is, whether it's we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't go here, we can't go there, we can't be with X number of people, whatever it is, God, whatever the, maybe it's the rules and the regulations that are distracting us right now, God, maybe it's the things going on around us that we can't see an end to, so we can't think about anything else. God, I'm reminded that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You set things in motion and you're going to stop them whenever, I don't know when that is, but you are the beginning and the end. Everything in the middle is part of your plan. Even the bad notes, it seems like, that are going on in this symphony that you've created, even those ones that aren't quite in tune, God, you set those in motion to show us and maybe look our eyes up and say, that was the wrong note. Help us to not be distracted by our environment. Help us to stay focused on you. Help us to, God, to look at you in a way that we never have before. As that thing, that presence, that whatever word I can't articulate is, needs to be our go-to. Savior, healer, lover, friend, better than anything we could seek. You are that. Be that for us today and help us to look for you and know that you can do that. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight. If you were live with us, if not, thanks for checking it out. I pray that God does help you get through this time, and whatever that means. And if you need to, reach out to the church. We've got availability to be able to speak to you one-on-one if we need to, or to be able to minister to you in whatever way you need. And we want to help you, and we want to help you through this time, because I feel like the preparation that we're making now is going to be for an enormous outpouring of what God wants to do. So look forward to that part. Help get through this part, and hang out with us next week. I'm not really sure what we're going to be talking about yet, but it'll be fun, it'll be here, and I'm excited to be with you guys. Have a good week.